Welcoming everyone to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin. My co-host will be joining us very shortly. He's stuck in a little bit of traffic, but he is on the way. And of course, Cole Jackson will be joining us in just a little bit. DK is here with me, fortunately, so he can help run some things in the back. But it's good to be here. This is a fun time to be a Ravens fan as they find themselves alone at the top of the AFC and look to cinch up home field advantage throughout. So it's certainly an exciting time, and I'm looking forward to getting Cole's opinion on a lot of what we saw from this past Sunday. Big win, certainly, but obviously still have some areas of concern. And so I'm interested to see what Cole saw when he watched the coach's film, because I know that's always a bit more revealing than what we see in the typical broadcast view. But the place I'm going to start is, unfortunately, I'm going to start with a bit of bad news. Should come as no surprise to anyone who's a Ravens fan, has been keeping track. Did get some clarity on what's going on with Keaton Mitchell's knee injury. Of course, everyone saw the hyperextension when he was running the ball against the Jaguars. It did come out the next day. Coach Harbaugh revealed that he did tear his ACL, ending his season this year, and really kind of makes you wonder what his status will be going into next season with an injury this late, already midway through December, or past midway through December, and he has the injury. So let's just hope that it's just the ACL. He did mention there wasn't any cartilage damage, so hopefully it's not as severe as when we saw JK deal with a similar injury. Now, he was kind of hit in the knee, which forced it to hyperextend, whereas Keaton's was more non-contact. So maybe that's the difference and why coach seemed a little more optimistic about Keaton Mitchell's return and ease of recovery than, we saw. It took JK like two full seasons to get back to, and then of course he had the Achilles, which was super unfortunate, but it does mean that Keaton Mitchell is no longer going to be on the team this year and won't help the Ravens in the playoffs when we need him most, and certainly going to miss his 8.9 yards per carry that he averaged this season. Limited reps, but there's no doubt, if you guys watch the man play, that he brought an element to this offense that it just didn't have. That home run at any time, even when it doesn't look like a home run. There's one thing, running back, I'm sure Gus, we've seen him get over 20 miles an hour on that little dump down run. And of course, these guys are all crazy athletes. But Keaton Mitchell will turn something that looked like a negative play into an 80-yard touchdown. I mean, that guy's speed was just different. It was next level. So they're going to miss that explosiveness. Now, it certainly opens up some more reps offensively for Justice Hill, who's had moments where he's looked really quick, really fast. Also had some moments where there's been some mesh point issues with him and Lamar Jackson. And that certainly can't come up in the playoffs, because those are the things that lose you a football game. But it also means that there's going to be some extra time. They already activated Melvin Gordon from the practice squad. Now, I know that most people remember Melvin Gordon in his career as a guy who's had issues putting the ball on the ground himself. I think he's averaged over 3 fumbles a year since he's been in the league, and that is a quick way to get in the John Harbaugh doghouse. So let's just hope that we see more of what we saw from him in the preseason and in training camp, which he looked good. I mean, I went into training camp when I saw that he was joining us, and I obviously there wasn't a lot of expectations on Melvin Gordon. I was not even expecting him to make the practice squad, to be honest with you, when he first got brought in, because I know how Coach Harbaugh feels about guys who put the ball on the ground. But everything we saw, he looked good. He looked good. He was there we go. He certainly wasn't putting the ball on the ground, but he was also a competent, if not more than that, pass blocker, which we know is important, which we know is why Justice Hill was finding himself on the field, even when I think everyone knew the better runner was probably Keaton Mitchell, but Justice Hill was the more competent and trustworthy blocker from the running back position. That's why he was on the field. Melvin Gordon can do that. He's a 3-down back. He's a guy who can catch the ball in the backfield. He can block and he can run between the tackles. So at least you're bringing up a guy who's not, some fresh-faced, undrafted, newcomer who hasn't had league experience. Melvin Gordon has seen it all and just about done it all. And so in that regard, I think the Ravens are pretty lucky to have that group, having obviously Gus leading the way, Justice backing up, and now Melvin is the third back. Be interesting to see how, as the season kind of tapers to the end, how Melvin Gordon and Justice Hill's roles are you know, balanced. Like, does Melvin start to take over some of that second running back role and allow Justice to stick with what he does best, which is his special teams ability. But also, as you can see at the very bottom, shout out to DK for putting this up, former Terp, so shout out to all Terps, including Jake Funk, has signed to the practice squad, explosive running back, a guy that can certainly, you know, turn on the Jets. I don't know if he's the 4.2 speed, and let's hope that Keaton Mitchell maintains that 4.2 speed after the ACL repair. But he definitely adds something to the group. He's been around the league. He's been, what's his fourth year, if I'm just going off the top of my head, fourth or fifth year. He's been around. He's done it all, and he's coming home. It's a bit of a homecoming for him, being a Terp. And so it's nice to see. And let's just hope that Jake Funk stays on the practice squad, because that means that we didn't need him and there's no other further injuries to the position. But it's nice to see a familiar name joining the team. So shout out to Jake Funk. Appreciate you joining us and jumping on board. But I still feel pretty good about the running back position. Obviously going to miss the home run ability. But I think we all trust Gus Edwards to know that guy can certainly get it done as the bell cow. And I think that Justice Hill will show that he's more than competent as that third down back. So, we'll have to kind of see how that all shakes out. Manny has a comment here. He says, I know Gordon looked okay, but I want to see Wright or Funk get some touches to see how they are before playoffs. Did we run out of elevations for Gordon? Well, I don't know about the elevations part, but I will say this. The second part there, you said, I want to see Wright or Funk get some touches to see how they are before the playoffs. Look, Owen Wright, we don't have a lot of time. You're talking about a few games left, building up for the playoffs. I don't know if this is the time to take a look at guys, to take a chance on some guys. I think you kind of run with what you got and go with what you know. And at least you know what you're getting from Melvin Gordon. They don't know if Owen Wright can even play at this level. Now, Jake Funk has certainly more playing experience, has touched the ball in game time, more game time situations than Wright. But I don't know. I would rather go with what you at least think you know, and that's Melvin Gordon, who actually has tape in the league. But I see what you're saying. I get your hesitancy with Melvin Gordon, because I'm sure you're worried, like most fans are, that he's going to put the ball on the ground. But let's just hope that the renewed emphasis and change of scenery kind of eliminated those fumbling issues. That'll get him put on the bench quick. We'll see Wright real fast or Funk real fast if Gordon puts the ball on the ground. There's no doubt about that. Let's see. Ryan Kelly, appreciate the super chat as well. He says, at what point do we just switch McCary to left tackle? Yeah, I mean, look, I think we're nearing that point, Ryan. And I'm really interested to see what Cole has to say about that exact topic, because we saw both sides do this timeshare where they're allowing Falele and Moses to share snaps at right tackle and McCary and Stanley to share at left. And I think they might want to consider switching the snap totals. I think McCary got 20-something and Stanley got the rest. I mean, I hate to say it, but we may have to switch those things around and give McCary the lion's share of the snaps. Because, I mean, I can't wait to get Cole in here, because I know that he put up a couple videos that were just – They were rough to watch Stanley get absolutely thrown at Lamar Jackson. Like, there was plays where Josh Allen, or was it Walker, just threw Stanley at Lamar Jackson. It was tough to watch. And those of us who've been fans long enough of Ronnie Stanley know what he once was and how good he once was, the all-pro, the best to do it in 2019. And really, statistically, if you look at the analytics, even had a better year than J.O. had here. Like, that's how good he was in 2019. Obviously not the player J.O. was, but that's how good just that year was in 2019. And he's so perfect for this offense with his ability to get out and move his feet, but still have the strength and size to anchor. And he just seemingly doesn't have that strength and stability on that, especially on that knee that he's recently hurt, that it just doesn't seem like he can anchor, man. And that's tough, because even those DNs that don't necessarily have the blazing speed and the ability to bend, mostly all of them have a bull rush. Like, if you have nothing else, if you don't have a spin move, you know, you don't have any counters, most people at least have a bull rush. I'll just run right into you and shove you into the quarterback. And that seems to be the area where Ronnie's struggling with. And that's quite scary. So I just don't know what the answer is, other than hope McCary can kind of take on the load, because you're not going to find a left tackle sitting around waiting to be picked up. That's for sure. But yeah, I also wanted to touch on a couple other things. I was pulling up the numbers for in the MVP odds right now, because it's a big topic of conversation, both on the radio, on social media, everywhere down the end of the regular season, is who is the leader of MVP? Who's going to win MVP? And it's amazing the difference a week can make, because just last week, Dak Prescott was fighting with Brock Purdy as the number one, and Lamar Jackson was somewhere around third in that group. And one bad week, not only does it find Dak Prescott out of the top three for MVP consideration and odds, but somehow Josh Allen has now vaulted himself up and taken the place, despite the fact that most people thought Buffalo was dead in the water just a few weeks ago. But obviously a big win over the Dallas Cowboys will certainly get you some more recognition. And it's crazy to see. Josh Allen is currently the third most likely to win the MVP. And Brock Purdy remains first, and quite frankly, it's not even that close as it currently stands. But Lamar Jackson is second nonetheless. And it got me thinking. I saw the reaction, and some fans are some fans really want Lamar Jackson to get his flowers and win his second MVP. And some are saying it's ridiculous. You know, Brock Purdy has such a great surrounding cast. He's got a brilliant offensive mind as his head coach. And they say Lamar Jackson is asked to do so much more. And so my question, and I really want to hear what you guys have to say in the chat, is like, is it important to you that Lamar Jackson wins MVP? You know, because the way I look at it, I really couldn't care less if he wins it this year. And so here's my case. I think, first of all, he's already won it, and he did it in unanimous fashion. So it's not like he won a squeaker where it was like him and another guy, and he barely won. Like, there was no doubt. He was hands down the best player that year. It was not even a discussion. No one saw it differently. Unanimous MVP. So he's already done it. Like, it feels like if he were to win it again, it's like, who cares? It's like kind of like a who cares to me, because he's already done it. And obviously he's looking for those team achievements. He wants Super Bowls, not MVPs. And I also understand that award is certainly important, more important to the guy who has not won it yet. I mean, this Lamar Jackson already signed his monster contract. He's not going anywhere. He got his security. And Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, a guy who was as close as you can get to becoming an undrafted free agent. So I'm okay if Brock Purdy wins the MVP. It doesn't matter to me in the least. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. You know, the guy, a story like that, a guy who's the last pick in the draft, he comes up and he takes the job of a guy. Now, I know there was injury issues, but Trey Lance, who they gave up heaven and earth to go up and get. And here's this guy who looks like the grandson of John Harbaugh coming out of absolutely nowhere. And yeah, he's got some great players around him, but I don't think we should just discount those who have great players around him and say there's nothing they can do because their supporting cast is just that good. Now, I understand voters, like, they could cannibalize, like Purdy and CMC could cannibalize each other's hopes, because some voters may say, I think CMC is the most valuable player on that team, so he's going to get my vote. And so I get that that could cause Brock Purdy to also lose the award. But I mean, look, I know that some say, you know, CMC is their most valued, Debo, Trent Williams even. But to me, I mean, we saw those guys. Like, I think if you took CMC out of that picture, Elijah Mitchell would be a thousand yard back, because everyone in that system, if healthy, has 1,000 yards. Look what Mostert did when he was there, what he's still doing in Miami. He's got 20 tutties this year, playing like limited. Like, he's a balance. He's not the bell cow. He's sharing the backfield. He's got 20 tutties. So I get CMC is special, but to me, I think Brock Purdy deserves the award as it currently stands. Now, Christmas night, I get it. Lamar puts up 4 touchdowns, no picks, and Brock Purdy puts out a stinker against this historically good Ravens pass defense, then maybe we'll have a different outcome. But yeah, come on now, Ryan. 7th best player on his own team. Stop it. Why do people hate on Brock Purdy? Let me just tell you what Brock Purdy's doing. Look, this is not a Brock Purdy show, but look. Let me just tell you what this guy's doing. He's leading the league in touchdown passes. Okay, he's got one more than Dak. Okay, I thought it was more than that. He's leading the league in touchdowns. He's second in the league in yards. He's leading by far in yards per completion. He's leading by far in quarterback rating, by far in QBR. I mean, he's second lowest interception in interceptions behind just CJ Stroud, who's missed games at this point. He's second in completion percentage. I mean, I just don't know what else this guy has to do to prove that he's a good player. I mean, it kind of seems a little bit unfair to criticize him just because he has good players around him. But that's my take. But I love the fact that I'm getting some. Let's see. DK says, I think if Lamar Jackson beats Brock Purdy this weekend, more people will vote for Jackson. So, I mean, certainly. Because of when you look at what he's going up against, that defense, the travel. Mon, sounds bad. Hang on, guys. Let me see here. He says my audio is messed up. Give me one sec. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Is that better? All right, cool. Sorry about the audio issues. But DK, I mean, I think you're right. It really depends on what it looks like. Like if we have a Lamar Jackson performance similar to what we saw from Josh Allen last night, where he completes seven passes for 78 yards and it's all the riding of the running game, then maybe not. But I think you're right, and it's a good point that if he beats him up and has a big discrepancy in how they play, if Brock Purdy has a bad game and he has a great game, then you're probably right. But I don't know. I don't love the fact that we criticize players and we just – because Lamar gets that a lot. Like, Lamar gets that a lot, man. And I hate when people do that. Well, oh, he led the league in touchdowns. Oh, he was throwing all short touchdowns. I know you remember that, DK. Oh, Lamar led the league in touchdown passes. Well, it's because the run game was so good that the teams didn't have to really – it's like it's always qualifiers and all that. And so I just hate that they're doing it to another guy. I'm not going to be hypocritical and say you can't do it to my guy, but I'm going to go ahead and do it to that guy. So that's just kind of the way I look at it. But Damon says, I was at the game in Jacksonville. I saw firsthand what a true MVP looks like, and his name is Lamar. Well, he certainly looked like one in Jacksonville. I mean, escaping sack after sack and turning nothing into something. He was impressive. There's no doubt about it. But I mean, he's second in the for a reason, and I think he certainly is deservedly so. But I can't believe Josh Allen is already up to third after being just. I thought they were done, but you got to give everybody credit, not just him. Let's see. Manny says, "How can we scheme this week to protect Lamar?" That's a good question, and that's. I mean, this pass rush. I hope, I shouldn't even say, it sounds bad saying I hope, but I know Armstead missed last week because of an injury. There's a chance he could get back out there this week. If you're telling me Armstead, Bosa, and Chase Young are all healthy, man, you got to get the ball out quick. That's what I would say, Manny. Get the ball out of his hands quick. But the weird thing about it is, I know you guys remember, there was times in that Jacksonville game, certainly early on, where he had a lot of time. It was weird. Like, he had a ton of time, a couple plays in the early on, and then the second half, it was just like, holy smokes, he was running for his life. And so, yeah, I mean, it just depends on which line shows up this upcoming week. Let's hope it's the good one. At least if Moses is on his A game, then we can just worry about the left side and let Pat Ricard do a bunch of helping, which we certainly saw as well, this past weekend. But yeah, I just wanted everybody's take on this because it's like, geez, man, you can't get mad when they knock everything and put qualifiers and put well and buts at the end of everything Lamar Jackson does. But then, you know, we can't turn around and be the same people doing it to another team. Jason says Kyle Hamilton is an alien, top safety in the league. Yeah, it's amazing to me. I'm still seeing people. By the way, I haven't. Apparently, Shannon Sharp said some pretty ridiculous things today or yesterday in talking about Kyle Hamilton, further proving that he doesn't even watch the games. Like, I'm going to try and find it if I can, but there was a clip going around that I saw on Twitter. I think Cole actually retweeted it. It was just clear and obvious proof that the man does not watch the game and that he's being paid to talk about. And there, I know who does watch the game he's being paid to talk about, and that is James, a.k.a. Jimmy Haskell, the Rascal.
What's up? Hey, I've been listening to you the whole time while I was in the car. Sorry for the madness.
That's all good. It's all good.
Holidays got people going crazy, man. There's accidents everywhere. People, take your time. It's okay. Santa ain't going anywhere. Okay? Goodness gracious.
Until the 25th, brother.
Right. Yeah, exactly. My gosh. But Glenn, I was going to say, you've been killing it. You and DK have been doing a great job. Am I allowed to give my thoughts on some of the things you were talking about?
Oh, I would love it.
Okay, cool. So I want to talk about really quickly your thoughts on the running back room. And this thing, this is one thing that I think that I would have added if I were there. I agree 100% with what you were saying. But one thing to remember, if anybody is nervous, I couldn't see the chat, but if anybody was nervous about, if anyone was putting any comments expressing their nervousness about the running back room, remember that Lamar Jackson is still the straw that stirs the cup when it comes to the running game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he makes this running game special, not to discredit our backs, but him and the threat of him running and the RPO and all that stuff makes it dangerous, right? So that's going to elevate the guys around him. So as long as we got Lamar, knock on wood, right? Like, I think our running back room, like you said, Glenn, with those two guys. And also, I want to mention that when Lamar came in the league, it was really just Lamar and Gus back there. Mm-hmm. They kind of came on the scene at the same time. So we've seen them do it. Obviously, we have more than that now. So I think we have enough to get it done and run it, keep our first in the league rushing title, if you will, and have it, do well in big moments. Mm-hmm. The other thing I was going to say too, I listened to the, you're talking about I listened to all of it, but the MVP race.
Yeah.
I'm also happy. It's great. I agree with you. I think Lamar doesn't care. I'm glad he's already got like the monkey off his back, if you will.
Yeah, it's done.
He doesn't give a crap. Right. I will say this though. I think it's crazy how people still think that anybody outside of the Niners in the NFC is a contender for the Super Bowl. I just can't see it anymore. Even the Eagles, like, how are the Cowboys a measuring stick for Josh Allen? The Cowboys barely beat the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? So like, and then
coming Dak across the country in the rain too.
Yeah. And Dak is being lifted up at that point when he beats the Seahawks as an MVP. And then he gets blown out by the Bills, a good AFC team. And all of a sudden now Josh Allen is being lifted up as an MVP candidate. What is happening here? The Cowboys just aren't real. They're not like real. I just don't believe it. Right. Like, so anyway, and also I'll say this, you might disagree with me on this, but I don't think Purdy's the top three person on their team.
What?
I think McCaffrey's way more valuable. I think Trent Williams is more valuable. I think that Fred Warner, you could argue, is there. Like, but he's just got a lot, right? But I also agree that he should be in the MVP running. And I think Lamar Jackson is MVP of this league. Like, let's just say what it is. It's my opinion that Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the league because he just simply does more. What are the Niners without Brock Purdy with all their other pieces healthy?
They're not the number one team, the number one seed, not even close. I mean, let me ask you this. What could have
Brock Purdy? What are the Ravens without Lamar?
Let me ask you this. Well, they were a playoff team last year and they should have won. But let me ask you this.
They had Lamar until when? Lamar had him first in the AFC.
All I'm saying is, what could he have done? What could Brock Purdy do to make you say, all right, he's their guy. He's leading the league in touchdowns. He's leading the league in rating. He's second, right. Or he's leading the league in position percentage. Right. He's second in every category. He's first or second. Like, so what more could a guy do? Like, it just feels like what we're doing is what everyone else does to Lamar. We're now doing to Brock Purdy. And that's the part I don't like. It feels like Lamar, we're being hypocritical.
Lamar, it's like he's a victim of his own success. That's him. Like, I feel like that's why people do it to Lamar, because they're like, oh, he's so good. They expect this Herculean thing, but that's because it's Lamar, like, doing all of this. So it needs to be superhero all the time because that's what he's done. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that. There's nothing really else Purdy could do except have a rash of injuries and then just somehow
everybody around me has to get hurt for me to even be considered.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only thing he can feasibly do. It's just hard for me to say, like, okay, he's more worthy of the MVP than Lamar Jackson. Part of it is because I'm a Lamar Jackson fan. I clearly see that. But I just think Lamar Jackson is a much more valuable piece as a singular person in the NFL. If you put Lamar Jackson on the Niners, if you switch him, what happens to the Niners? What happens to the Ravens?
Look, let's be honest. I mean, they thought they were finding a Lamar Jackson when they went and got Trey Lance,
right? But I also, I mean, it's valid. Like, what else?
I just don't want us to be hypocritical fans and do what everyone else does to Lamar. We're going to do it to Brock Purdy.
Yeah, but I'll say this:
I'm in no way a Niners fan of any sort.
But I'll say this, Glenn: I'm sick and tired. I just haven't seen anywhere the Ravens are getting their credit.
Who?
As a team, like, forget Lamar.
Oh, I know.
Like,
Let me just say this on Get Up, Jimbo. To your point. It's Monday morning. Get up. The first half hour was all Cowboys Bills.
Like, who cares?
Gave us 3 minutes after the first half hour. They talked a bunch of other stuff. And then the top of the next hour, guess what it was again? Cowboys and Bills, baby. I was like, holy smokes. It was just a footnote what the Ravens did.
Think about this. I would be interested to know, DK, if you're bored and you want to look up some statistics, let me know. But like, think about, we beat the Lions. They were the leaders in their division. Yep. Beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, leaders in their division. We're leaders in our division.
Oh, dude, we're 7-2 against winning teams or something.
Right. We're leaders in the conference. If we beat the Niners too, we'll beat another division leader. Like, you're talking about, what else more can we do?
Yeah.
What else more can the Ravens do to get their flowers? Because all they've done is win football games against good teams. Like, at this point, you might as well say the Browns are the best team in the league. Like, if you're going to use that same logic, right? Because they beat the Niners, and they beat the Ravens, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's just wild to me that the Ravens aren't getting more credit. It blows my mind. I agree with you 100%. I don't get it. Finally, thankfully, freaking Joy Taylor. I don't know if you saw her little clip. She's like, "Hey guys, the Ravens are still a thing." Because what's his name? What's the guy's name? Acho.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, are the Bills the sneaky best team in the AFC? Because they beat a nobody that's second in their division in the NFC.
Yep.
How? I don't. Blows my mind, Glenn. I just don't get all of it. I don't get any of it. The Ravens are not getting. But you know what, Glenn? I like it this way. Remember, I said this a few weeks back. Bring it all on, because we want to be hardened. We want to be battle tested. We want to have done it in training. That way, we show up to the start line of the Super Bowl like. Mm-hmm. Just one of those menace laughs, right? Because it's already, we've already done it. The hard work is over. You know what I mean? So bring it on. But it's just infuriating as a fan to see the Ravens not get the love, dude. So maddening.
Well, I mean, I think you said it right, honestly, last show, Jim. But I think you said it perfectly when fans still want to say, you know, are the Ravens going to have a complete game? Are the Ravens going to do it? And I loved your response. It was, well, they can have proven that they can win in so many different ways. It doesn't have to look the same way.
Right.
Every time they can win a dogfight. They can win a shootout. They can win. I mean, any way they need to win, they've already shown they can do it this year. And you talk about to a complete win. I think Cole, who, by the way, did send us a message. Unfortunately, he's got something going on tonight. He's not able to make it tonight.
He's out running.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just going to have to, you know, we're going to miss him a little bit tonight. But to your point, Cole tweeted this out earlier. The Ravens are 7-2 against teams currently in the playoffs. In those games, the Ravens have outscored them 274-149. And yet still hearing people go, the Ravens have not had a complete game yet. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, I just think it's not cheap. Like, man, it's a bit lazy, but lazy is not even the word. It's unreasonable to believe that at this point in the season, you're going to get it done without mistakes, without, you know, looking lackluster at certain periods. Sure, everyone might be watching the Niners and seeing them step on a bunch of JV teams in the NFC. Whoop-de-doo-da-day. You know what it means to me, Glenn? A hill of beans.
Mm-hmm.
Because any NFC team that has crossed the fence to play the Baltimore Ravens has got smacked back to wherever they came from. Right? So, like, it means absolutely nothing to me. The gauntlet of the AFC in that, like, yeah, there's the NFC might have some peaks, like a few good teams. But the AFC just has a ton of teams. The depth there is just – look at the AFC North. We're the best team conference in the NFL, clear and above. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Steelers are the worst, and somehow, by the grace of all that is holy, the Steelers are 500. Like, how is this happening? And we're still way better than everybody else in the best division of football. How else, like, how, what, you said it, but you said it. How, like, what else can we do? What else can we do? You know, so it's just, it's been frustrating for me. Sorry, I didn't mean to come in, like, but when you were talking, I was like, in the car, I'm like.
No, I knew, look, I'm glad because I knew I was about to get, take on the entire chat with my take, but I keep hearing it, and I want to be a fair, I want to be a reasonable, fair, you know, fan. And I think we got to talk about it as objectively as we can in certain ways. But no, I'm glad you jumped in and came in and bring some energy. Doomgoy says, feeling very 2019. Both were 10-2 last time and clearly the best teams in their conference. But this team feels, or this team's better. Winner is the clear number one team in you're talking about, I guess, the winner this weekend.
Oh, yeah, in comparison to that Niners matchup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Well, look, another thing I want to touch on, Jimbo, is this a lot of fans are going, well, if we want, you know, they're almost looking at this game as like they're almost counting it as a loss already.
Yeah. Way too early.
They're going, well, if we drop this one, and then they start talking about, well, what happens after we lose this one? It's like, well, let's not be so
play the game.
To assume that we're going to lose this one. Sure, the travel doesn't make things easy, and it's a hell of a good football team. Clearly, the two best teams are playing in Christmas, in my opinion. When you look at any statistical category, these are the only two teams that are top five in, in basically everything, no matter which side of the ball you look at. But I just want to pull up a couple stats here because and first of all, thanks a lot, Doomgoy, for your super chat. And you're right, it does start to feel like it. I just hope it did in 2019. But
this is a different football team than 19 mentally.
Oh, certainly. And Lamar's older. He's more mature, which I think
he's
helps.
He's slower.
As well.
No, I'm kidding.
Here we go. So I want to put this up here because I think it's interesting to see because when you just look at the score, you go, when you look at the score last week, the Niners beat the snot out of the Cardinals, right? Like they handled them 45 to 20. It looks like a beatdown, right? Absolute crushing. But when you really dive into the numbers, it actually gets encouraging for the Ravens. And of course, we're going to do more of this when our preview show coming up this Friday. Let me see here. Did it pop up on the screen yet? No. Here we go. Add to stage. Let me see here. You tell me when it's popped up, Jimbo. Is it up?
Yeah, all right, cool.
So as you can see, 45 to 29, that's a beatdown, right? But if you look a little deeper, Jimbo, the Arizona Cardinals outgained the Niners 436 to 406.
And didn't they specifically run all over them? I can't see the rushing portion of it.
234, Jimbo.
Yeah.
They absolutely, not only 234, look at the yards per rush, Jimbo.
7.8.
God, what does this number do for you? What does this number do for you when you think about what the Ravens are bringing to town and you think about what Ellie DeMarcado, I'm going to pull up what Ellie DeMarcado did, who we remember when we went to Arizona and how we introduced ourselves to Mr. DeMarcado. It was certainly not nearly the success he had, and forgive me because my internet is absolutely struggling.
You're
but look what James Conner and Amari DeMarcado did to them. 14 for 86 and a tutty for James Conner. 4 for 64. I'm gonna just
those are Keaton Mitchell numbers.
Exactly. My man DeMarcado averaged 16 a carry. Is that good?
Yeah, you're not kidding. Holy crap. Now, let me ask you a question really quick, Glenn. Armstead and someone else is supposed to be coming back for the Niners this week?
Yeah, Armstead, I opened talking about that.
Okay. Why did I miss that? Anyway.
Yeah, Armstead might be back, and that's certainly a big ad for them. But I got to imagine that this is at least encouraging when the Ravens see this. Like, all right, if they can do it. If they can do this, then, I mean, they average 7-8 a carry. We got Lamar Jackson, Gus Edwards. I mean, what are we doing?
And this is the other thing. I agree with you 100% on this. This is the other thing, Glenn. I haven't been watching the Niners super closely. But every time I see the score, it seems to be a blowout, right? Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I also think there's something to be said about the DK said in our chat of winning ugly games, of winning close games, mm-hmm. right? And that a lot of that comes down to coaching decisions. A lot of that comes down to player experience. A lot of that comes down to poise, you know, making big plays in big moments. And usually in those moments, the team with the best defense and the best quarterback comes out on top. Usually, at least that's my opinion, just outside looking in. Mm-hmm. If you got a better defense, and certainly if you got a better quarterback, usually in those closer games, the game leans in your favor. Not all the time, but I kind of feel like that how that goes. So what I'm trying to say is that all those things I think stack up for the Ravens. Say whatever you want about the MVP race. Ain't nobody in the NFL, Kyle Shanahan himself, if he could take Lamar Jackson over Brock Purdy, he would do it once every single day and twice on Sunday till the day he dies. And he'd be lying.
Lamar Jackson, can you imagine?
Oh my God, it'd be stupid.
Dude, the bootlegs.
Oh my goodness.
With Lamar,
like, what do? You hold and you run, God. Or do you keep and run, or do you give it to CMC? Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah,
you know. Insane. So what I'm trying to say though is that all those things I think stack up in the favor of the Ravens, and that we've been in a lot of fights.
You talk about defense. They're as close as happen? You get.
Well, that's what I mean. So, like, think about this one. What happens if our defense plays well and we keep them like under 30?
Yeah, I mean, well, let's just – we're right now tied in points. We give up – the Ravens defense surrenders 16.8 and the Niners 16.7. So it could come down to which defense is more effective against the opposing offense.
Yep.
And the question is, Jimbo, do you feel better about the Ravens offense, your number two defense, Ravens – being able to, you know, do the same, like, do you feel more confident in our offense against their defense or their offense? Our defense against their offense.
You already know my answer.
I'm just saying because of the offensive line in the state that it is. Yeah. Lamar Jackson pulled the rabbit out of his hat last week, but can he do that against a pass? Look, we're talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. We talk about, they have 28th in the league in pass rush. It was really one guy and then the rest. Well, this ain't going to be the case with Joey Bosa and Armstead, Chase Young. They got a lot more guys than one.
Glenn, I'm going to pull David Goggins. I need you to keep talking. Give me some more motivation.
Oh, you want to hear it all, huh?
All of it. I'm soaking it all in, because you know what? Lamar Jackson's done it against a TJ Watt. He's done it against a Clowney and a Myles Garrett pairing. He's done it against, you name the pairing.
That's right.
And all of them end up getting up off the ground like this.
Shaking their heads.
Just scratching their head like, what just happened to me? Yep. Right. So, I mean, he did it. Let's see, a year ago. Who else did the Chargers have with Bosa? Now, I know that we played with
Khalil Mack. Yeah.
But they, you know, Bosa was already injured by the time we played. But last year he was there too, right?
Yeah, he was there last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, Lamar's done it against Pat. I think, honestly, it's going to be a much taller task. So, your question was who I have more faith in the matchups generally, right?
Yeah.
Even though I think that our offense might have moments that struggle, I have so much faith in our defense. Mm-hmm. Our defense, I think, is going to come to play. I think they're going to play really well. I think that video of, you know, the guy, the quarterback's was handshaking. Mm-hmm. I think Purdy might be a little handshaking back there. I think some guys are going to get after him. And let me tell you what. I hope that anybody that plays defense with Walter Ramos listen to old Jason Lockin Fora today, cornball himself, talking about how the Ravens defense has – all he does is pit the statistics against the Ravens, tries to use big words to make you feel dumb. Like, the dude belongs in politics, right? He can skew any statistics to make himself sound good. But all he's doing is talking about how the pass rush has just diminished and how they don't have it back, or they don't have it anymore. We got these old guys who are – you know, run out of gas and this, that, and the other. Ultimately, this Ravens team can produce a pass rush. And I think that our defense is just, I think that our defense is better prepared to play against their offense than their defense is to prepare against Lamar Jackson. You know it, Glenn. Teams in the NFC say it all the time. You cannot simulate Lamar Jackson in practice.
Yeah, they might have to grab Debo and put a ball in his hand, actually, and run around in the pocket, because that's as close as they're going to have to simulate Lamar Jackson in the pocket, that's for sure.
And DK said this in our private chat. I agree with him. I think I mentioned this on our post game. We kind of started getting into this game. I'm so excited to see the McDonald? Mm-hmm. Mike McDonald? Yeah. Gosh, dang it. One day I'll remember his last name. Mike McDonald, Kyle Shanahan matchup. Because one of the advantages, I think, and this will be really interesting to see moving forward, is that there haven't been a trend of young DCs in the league. Like, there's been a trend of young OCs. Mike is the Sean McVay of young DCs right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So he's the new wave who's grown up defending these guys, these types of offenses. What's it going to look like? It's going to be really fun to see. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't wait for this matchup. It's going to be a blast, man. I can't wait. But look, you said it. I'm talking a ton right now, and I apologize. I'm trying to make up for a long time.
No, you're good.
Dagnabbit, don't count the Ravens out. There's no reason for anyone to say, oh, let me chalk this one up to a loss and not worry about it because it's an NFC opponent. Who cares? No.
That's right. 19-1, Jimbo. Lamar Jackson, 19-1 against NFC opponents.
And let's see how these boys in San Jose, they're not even the San Francisco 49ers anymore.
No, they're really not.
Yeah, the San Jose Silicon Valley money sellouts is what they are. Like, the bougiest of bougie, dude. Like, goodness gracious. So anyway, what I was going to say is that let's see what happens when they get in the dogfight.
Well, that's like when Roquan was asked about it. They asked about, like, what did you say before the game? He said, look, I told them we're coming into their house, and they're going to want to defend their house. So let's go punch them in the mouth and let them know this is what it's going to be. And I think that's a good point. I think that's what we got to do is we got to bring the AFC North physicality across the country and let these guys know, like, okay, you might have a lot of fancy toys, and they might run around real fast, but let's see how they can take a whooping, because we're going to pull one on you every time we get there. And I absolutely love the fact that when no matter who is tackling on our defense, they're bringing it. Like, they're bringing the violence. But I wanted to ask your take on another former Raven, Jimbo. Justin Houston was released.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up.
Now, I'm wondering, DK, tell me if you see anything, if he's got any links in the back, because somebody in the chat earlier said he might already have announced his signing, but I haven't seen
it. I haven't seen him either. The only crazy thing is I saw today that whoever signed him would only have to pay him $145,000 for the rest of the year.
$194,000.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it was something outrageous.
Yeah, $194,000 is all he'd be due by his new team. He's only got a half a sack thus far, but he's had very little opportunity on the worst team in football outside of maybe the Patriots. Any interest there? I mean, he wants to play for a contender.
Yeah, I think because he's trying to get some incentive-laden contract to get that playoff money. And I don't blame him. I mean, I don't blame him at all. But the thing for me is I say absolutely yes if we have an area where it all comes down to what our 53-man roster looks like. If you take a deep dive at it and you say, okay, Justin brings more value than this guy. You know what I'm saying? Because if not, outside looking in, yeah, it's a good idea. But if our 53-man roster is so tight to where you're like, I can't lose this special teams guy, or because Justin's not going to play special teams. He's going to play 1/3 of the defensive snaps. Right. And you got to hope that he's high impact on his snaps, right? But I say if there's a guy that you can afford to lose that you believe that Justin is more valuable than, yeah, you bring him in. Okay. DK, is this him saying that he signed somewhere else? Oh, okay, good.
Okay. Yeah, we don't okay, there we go. So if Shefty hasn't said it, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there, Glenn. But yeah, I mean, look, I think that it's, he already knows the defense. He'd be hopping in. He'd just be an on-ramp. You know, he'd be hopping right on the highway and rolling. He hasn't played since October 29th, so he's fresh. I know he's coming off IR, but he hasn't been playing games. So hopefully he's been, you know, getting fresh. And I think it's worth bringing him in. I mean, shoot. Is he on pass rushing downs? Is there potentially going to give you more than Adafe Owe right now?
No.
On passing downs?
Adafe Owe? Heck no. Adafe Owe led our team in.
What about Calvin Oyer? I mean, you know, I think he's worth bringing in, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't think he's bad because you can at least keep other guys fresh and him fresh by cycling guys in. But I expect him to be not better than what we have here. But he
turns in a three sack game all of a sudden.
It's possible. Yeah. I wouldn't be completely stunned. But
I think he had more sacks last year than Adafe has in his whole career.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I'm just saying, it was only on like 50 snaps.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I think you might be right about that one.
But what's your take on it?
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I mean, it's not going to be very much money. He should know the system.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of a refresher, but yeah, I mean, he needs to, the question is, how much does he want to play? Because if he wants to play, I'm trying to think who has an opportunity for him to play. Like, I think he would come back here and be happy. I think it's up to the Ravens if they want him back. That's the truth. The truth thing there, you know,
he left on bad terms. Do you?
You don't know what happens behind closed doors. Like, I would assume that he just got a way better, a bigger offer, and that's where he went. But you just never know. You never know. You know, there's some guys who've come back and others who we expected to come back never did. So, I wouldn't mind it though. Get some extra veteran leadership in the room. You know, I wanted to put this up here as well, Jimbo, because it was kind of crazy. That blown coverage, for the 65-yard touchdown that they scored that stopped us from getting our shutout here. That was the craziest play, because when you watch the coaches film, Jimbo, you know there was only two people that went in a route. It was a complete max protect. Everyone else stayed in the block. There was two people who ran routes, Jimbo, and somehow we lost one of them. Like, how in the heck? I mean, it's pretty clear that Mollett thought he had help here. But as you can see, I mean, zoom in a little bit. As you can see here, only two people go out in the route. And yet they lose one of the two people.
The best. I mean, you know they were getting smashed for that.
Just ridiculous to look at it. Like, all those people stayed in the block, and we somehow – look at all the people at the top of the screen doing absolutely nothing. It's kind of crazy. But they were that close to shutting out a very – you know, high-end, a division-leading AFC team.
You remember the episode of The Office when Andy Dwyer, at the beach episode, he's in the sumo suit and he gets stuck in the lake.
Just floating.
And Angela, because she's trying to sabotage him. Yeah. She's like, I don't understand what you're saying, what you need. And he's like, go find someone and tell someone it. Like, go find someone that's not in your team's uniform and guard them. Like, that's all they had to do there.
That's it.
Oh, that's embarrassing. Oh, man. Glenn, I'm so excited for Monday night, bro. Oh,
yeah, man. Hey, you know what? It doesn't hurt that, you know, I'm in the fantasy football semis playing against the guy who just so happens to have George Kittle and Brock Purdy on his team. And that person will be at my house on Christmas night. Richard France III will be there. And there is no bigger Niner fan that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Than him. So I really hope I get to rub it in his face and talk a lot of, you know what, but it could also go the other way, and let's hope it doesn't go that way. Cause I don't want to hear that.
It's going to be an interesting game, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, a quick question. Now that we don't have him,
Shout out to Eric Haskell in chat.
Yeah, buddy. There he is. I see him. And by the way, we have a Don C and we have a Don B now in the chat. I don't know what to make, but if I see a Don A, I mean, holy smokes. I was like, really? We got a Don C and a Don B. But Don C says, hey guys, do you feel guilty? We are excited thinking about the playoffs while Pittsburgh fans only hope is the announcement of Mason Rudolph as QB1. No, not guilty at all, Don. No, not guilty.
Zero guilt.
I can't help but recall a certain member of the Pittsburgh media who tweeted a few years back when Mason Rudolph and Lamar Jackson were entering the league that Mason Rudolph would be the better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. Oh yeah. Oh, receipts are kept.
Wait, is someone we've had on the show?
No, luckily not him.
But the guy we've had on the show, of course, did pick a Mason Rudolph-led team to beat Lamar Jackson in 19.
But he wasn't crazy enough to tweet out that Mason Rudolph will be the better quarterback.
No. Chris Carter is also a low-key, huge Lamar Jackson fan.
Yes, exactly.
He's not crazy.
Yeah, no, I don't feel bad at all. Love to see it. I never root for injuries to anyone, but let's be honest, it didn't matter if they had an injury at quarterback. They were garbage when they had a healthy quarterback.
Yeah, he's not good.
No, he's not good. Their backup isn't good. And the worst thing that I see in Pittsburgh is, and I find it even hard to even believe and accept it, is they've completely tuned Mike Tomlin out. I mean,
wild. Their receivers. Is there a chance Mike Tomlin's gone?
If he is, he ain't gonna be out there long.
No, absolutely. But I mean, like, I wonder how they view the fact that he's lost some of the team. Is it the players, and are they gonna be gone?
It's usually or is the coach, but they're a different organization. They've had what, three coaches since the 70s?
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if the players are gone before the coach, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, George Pickens had those questions. And that's why he fell to where he did in the draft. That's why when Ravens fans were going, well, how did you let this guy get away? Well, now you're seeing why they let that guy get away, because he's simply not blocking. He's uninterested. And then when asked about it, Jimbo, I don't know if you saw the clip, but it was a pretty clear lack of effort, which would have had, I believe.
No, I saw it. That was ridiculous.
Where he would have scored. Like if Pickens does anything. Well, they asked George about it. And he basically said that, well, the ones who are criticizing me have never played football. They don't know what they're seeing.
He didn't want to get injured.
What I saw is he just did nothing but discredit fans and pundits and say, well, they don't play the game, so their opinions don't matter. Which, of course, like we need to have played NFL football to see complete lack of effort. Apparently, you need an NFL resume to see a guy standing still during a live play.
Wild.
That guy's a goofball. But my point is that you can see they should have never drafted the guy, because the guy had these concerns. There was a reason why he fell to where he did. Mm-hmm. He was the number one draft or prospect coming out of high school, and he had questions about his attitude.
Dude, he's a bonehead.
Yeah. Exactly. So
sorry, George, you're a bonehead.
Yeah, I hope they fire Tomlin, because that would make the Ravens' path to the AFC North a heck of a lot easier every year.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, everyone talks about how he only produces mediocre teams. What he's actually doing is he's pulling bad teams up to mediocrity, right? Like, he's not pulling them down. He's pushing them forward so they're just average.
Yeah, right? And look, he doesn't get to buy the groceries like old Bill Belichick does. So I blame Bill for everything, because he drafted the guy. He's in charge of developing the guy, and he's game planning each week. Tomlin isn't drafting these guys. I'm sure his input is accepted, but he's not the general manager, and he's not the guy who makes the calls. So, if they want to fire him, I mean, the Chargers better be – I'd rather have Mike Tomlin 100% than Bill Belichick. I don't care what anyone has to say.
Yeah, but I think that there's a better chance that, like, that Pickens is gone, and I don't know about Deontay Johnson, than Tomlin, don't you? Based on, like you said, the team's history, it just – Yeah. It just kind of makes
turn
sense.
I'd be like, hey, what are the owners there named? Rooney's? I'd be the like, Rooney, hey, why don't you turn on the tape and look at the effort level of those two goofballs?
Yeah. Insane. Like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. What else we got coming up this week, Glenn? Did we talk about BetUS yet? Oh, did we talk about our competition?
We haven't done our competition. And what? I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, I couldn't help myself but to click on the doc just to see.
Did you win?
I think I might have good news coming up here in a minute.
So, all right. Fair. So you're going to make this. So, let's see. If you win, there's a chance that we can tie at the end of the season, DK? Or is there a chance we can win?
There's no way I can pass
you? Well, maybe you could win in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah. So go to the playoffs, whatever it is. Whatever it takes, Jimbo. I'm taking you down, bruh. We'll coming see. For you. Tanja, stop it. Tomlin's not terrible.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see what DK's got to say.
I don't like. I don't like.
It's 6-5 now, so you can pass me, bro. What? I think DK's combining yours and his is what he's doing. It doesn't feel that way. All right. Well, should we get into it, DK? Want to do the results? All right, and of course, as you guys know, our over under competition is brought to you by BetUS. Go check out BetUS and use the promo code 410 or use the link in the description to get a 125% match and then some with a cherry on top, up to $2,500. Check out BetUS. They're a great partner of ours. They're great to use. Prop bets, in-game bets, season-long bets, MVP odds for one, Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Get him while he's second in odds, like Glenn said now.
Plus 400.
That's right. So then when he beats Brock Purdy, you're sitting pretty. Mm-hmm. Right. So go make yourself some money, have some fun.
Plus 450, actually.
Yeah. So, but do so responsibly. Don't bet the house and don't bet the kids' college fund. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get into it. Our over under competition.
Oh, Jimbo, goal. Quickly. How crazy is it Josh Allen was thrusted to number three in MVP odds after that game?
Stupid. Just dumb.
So reactionary. One game, dude. And by the way, he had seven completions for 77 yards.
And it was against the Cowboys. Like, I know their defense is good, but the Cowboys aren't a good team. Like, as a whole, they don't have any. Like, I don't know any of their signature wins this year. Wait, did they beat the Eagles?
No.
No, they didn't beat the Eagles.
Lost to the Jets, the Seahawks, and who else?
Come on.
Oh, the Niners, right? Or the Cowboys?
Yeah, the Cowboys lost to the Niners.
No, I'm talking about the Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles?
I know they lost to the Seahawks, the Niners, the Jets. Oh, and the Niners. Okay.
No, but I mean, did the Cowboys beat the Jets? No. I mean, not the Jets. Excuse me. The Eagles. No, right?
No, the Cowboys lost.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure I was remembering that correctly. I don't know what their signature win is this year to make them such a catapulting victory that Josh Allen goes up to third.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Wild. Why?
In a game where, like I said, seven completions for 77 yards.
Oh, my gosh.
MVP. All right, so let's get into our competition here. Let's see our first one. All right, number one, Odell Beckham Jr. or Zay Flowers receiving long, 41.5 yards. We were way under. He just had 14 yards. Who was that? Was that Odell? I believe it was Odell.
One reception. Right? I think they had one reception each.
Yeah, it was bad as far as production, but didn't ultimately matter. And so let's see. What did we say? I got to pull up.
I think I already got this one wrong. I think I started off wrong.
Well, chances are you were wrong. I mean, actually, you were right. You said under. I said under. Right. DK was the only one incorrect. He said over. All right, next one. Keaton Mitchell's rushing long. Man, what a sad one this was because who knows what would have happened on that play where he hyperextends his knee because he certainly wasn't going down.
Isn't it crazy that he hyperextended his knee from running too fast? That's basically what happened. I mean, he was running too fast.
Yeah. So it feels a little sad to say under on this one and then that we were all correct because I think on that play, he may have broken it on that play because he was getting ready to do something. It's a shame. But all right, so we're all right about that one. Under 24. All right. Now, defense. Let's see. Roquan Smith and Kyle Van Noy. Do they total 2.5 tackles for loss or more than 2.5 tackles for loss? Jimbo, what happened on this one? You said over. What happened? It's zero.
They failed me.
They did.
Failed me miserably. Come on, boys.
So me and DK were right about that one.
I thought Kyle Van Noy had one. It wouldn't have mattered.
It wouldn't have mattered anyway. All right. Defensive Jacksonville Jaguars red zone percentage. He puts it at 40%. And 0%. Man. Big old donut, Jimbo.
Oh, I got this one right. Wait, so I got 3 out of 4. We must all be doing good, right?
Did you get 3 out? Yeah, you did get 3 out of 4. Yeah.
Does that mean you got 4 out of 4?
I happen to get 4 out of 4, right? Okay. You know?
Well, that's not going to happen very often, so I'm not too concerned.
You know, the best part about that last one, though, the Jaguars 0% is that they could have had they had an opportunity that they should have just spiked the ball.
Yeah.
You know, they got greedy and that's what you get for getting greedy. So,
wait, but if they would have kicked a field goal in that scenario, would that count towards the red zone percentage?
Well, they could have spiked it and still had a shot to throw the end zone and just throw it away. Like they ruined it by having a running clock.
Yeah.
But all right. So first tiebreaker. Total score over under 42.5 points. I said under.
Ugh.
You both said over. So not only did I get 4 out of 4, I got the first tiebreaker correct as well. All right. Well, this is just a butt whoop. But consolation prize goes to DK because he did guess correctly on the most total yards. 396 was the total. DK was the closest with a 375 guess. Jimbo, and you were the worst. 340 as you tried to completely.
DK, this is the time that you decided to bring the graphic up.
We ain't seen the graphic all year. And look,
you took the pictures off. Glam.
Glam.
All right, DK, let's see this bad boy. You got music with it too? Okay, good.
Dang, bruh.
Dang, look at that accuracy, though.
Hold up, man. I don't like how you have this sorted, man. You know what I'm saying? Because it made me feel like I was in first by being on top. And then I had to look and see the Jimmy's actually beating me.
In every statistical category.
But there's still some time.
Jimmy. There is some time. You're absolutely... This is now a race. You've made it a race, dude.
I'm telling you. People's chance coming for you.
Oh, boy.
But how surprising it to see DK just... I mean, he's going around the drain right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is what happens when he creates it. He takes too much time to think on it.
Mm-hmm. He's outsmarting himself.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely what he's doing. Wow. Wow. What's competition? And ladies and gentlemen, you can be a part of the competition by submitting your answers every week to any of the social media handles that are above Glenn's head or in the comment section on YouTube of the preview of the pregame video. DK, do we have the weekly winner? The show winner? Okay, cool. We also have the show winner for this week.
And while he's DK looks up, that up, let's see here. Asmodeus says our chicken nugget needs have been satisfied. Appreciate it, Asmodeus, guy. And then let's see. Def DeBeta says the Cowboys actually did beat the Eagles. Blew them out in Dallas.
They did?
So that's their three losses. The Jets, the Cowboys, and now the Seattle.
So at least Dallas has a signature win, but the signature win against the Eagles is looking worse and worse every week.
I mean, look, they just basically fired their defensive coordinator and
for Matt Patricia. Oh gosh.
Yeah, with
so you can consider that defense. He's got all the weapons in the world, and somehow they're worse in category. That defense should be worse in zero categories.
Yeah, they're so dominant up front. It just shows like the only thing I can say is like disinterest because they're talented everywhere.
Dude,
like,
he's the Brock Purdy of defense right now, Matt Patricia. He's got everyone.
Come on, man. He does have everyone, but it's
he's
not
got
looking,
all
it's,
the weapons.
He's not playing like Brock Purdy, that's for
no,
sure.
No, but he's got an absolute abundance of weapons. He has zero excuses. What is Steven that used to say about LeBron? No excuses, no excuses. He's like screaming at the TV. Do you think
sure
they just ever not give him a microphone and just let
he wouldn't need it? Just let the just ambient.
Pick up on everybody else's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could see that.
Yeah, I might be in that scenario too, though.
Well, certainly at the live draft party, I'll never forget that when you almost blew the eardrum out of my right ear, screaming. It's like, holy smokes.
Oh, I'm just getting started, dude.
I like seeing that. I wish I would have seen Joy Taylor. I got to look that up. The Joy Taylor.
Yeah.
Making them put some respect on our name. I love to see it because you're right. I mean, it was crazy. I was waiting all morning on get up Monday morning going, all right, they're going to lead off with talking about our Ravens, the top of the AFC, put a whooping on the Jags. No, first half hour is the stinking ass Cowboys and the Bills. And then the first 20 minutes of the next hour was more Cowboys and Bills saying the exact same thing again.
Oh my gosh, it is ridiculous. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Dude, speaking of ridiculous, how many times has this guy won? DK, did you spell his name wrong? Yeah, it's Timothy.
Dude.
Oh, that could be a cool name, though, Timothy.
It's not bad, dude.
You know?
Hey, Jimbo.
No, I'm good. I'm not going to be the first one to try it out.
Come on, Jimbo. I'll text on you right now, dude. What do you think about Timothy?
Oh, gosh. Please, though. No.
You know what's going to really stink? When we find out that that's his real name and that we've been just laughing about it.
That would be so terrible. Seconds. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I would feel so bad. Sorry.
Sorry,
but we know it's Tim Reynolds. We know it's Tim. How many times has he won now, DK?
You just see him in the chat. I go by Tom.
Yes. Let's see. One, two. This is second time this year he's won.
Wow. Shout out. Himothy, yeah, it's more Himothy. Like Himothy.
Nah, I like that. I like that. Dude, Don C is witty, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just, hey, follow him on Twitter if you want to see more because it's not just witty here.
That's awesome. Nice. Well, Luke, everything night. Wants a shout out. Luke, it's the holiday season. Shout out to you.
Yeah,
appreciate
buddy.
The support. Appreciate all you guys for all your support. This Friday, of course, let's see. Is Friday? Okay, Friday works. Okay.
Yeah.
My in-laws get in on Friday, so I just want to make sure they don't land till like midnight, though. Okay.
Dang, you got to pick them up?
Yeah, man.
Just make them Uber, dude. Just call them an Uber. You know that move.
Nah, dude, I can't do that. Nah, if I call him an Uber, it's got to be an Uber X.
Or
like
yeah.
Uber Black. I mean, like,
I'm taking it that old Trigger T didn't get the Uber X call.
No, 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 no. Anyway, that's a whole different story. But yeah. All that being said, we are looking forward to Friday. We will be ready and prepped for this Niners game. We're going to give you all the breakdowns. We're going to give you the key matchups, players of the game, all above. That's it for us tonight, folks. Glenn, thanks for holding it down. DK, thanks for holding it down. We'll talk to you guys soon.
See you. Ah!